This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to get some answers on the Green Bay Packers from the guy that's been up there at practice the last couple of days. And every single day, it's Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, alongside Tim Allen, the franchise here on the Wendy's Big Show. Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Woody, first off, we'll talk about practice today. It seems like everybody was ready to rock and roll outside of just a couple.
Yeah, you know, it's remarkable. Brian Bulaga is the dang Wolverine. It's incredible. I thought there was no way that they'd even give it a go this week against 2-9 New York, and here he is out there practicing. His history of returning from knee injuries is uncommon. It goes against the grain of what is normal. So here he is. He's questionable on the injury report today, and I mean, it sure seems like he's going to play.
And if he doesn't, what do they do there? Is it Turner moving over? Is it Light? What are they going to do there?
My guess is that it would be Billy Turner moving over, which is not what they want to do. All coaches are very reluctant to replace one injured player on the offensive line with another starter. Because now you're down two preferred starters. Mm-hmm. If Billy Turner's right tackle, he's not the preferred starter at right tackle. Then Lucas Patrick would be the right guard to replace him. He's not the preferred starter at right guard. The problem, though, is that Alex Light, the way that he struggled last week, it seemed pretty clear. So I would expect that Billy Turner would probably get the start, but they could go Alex Light. I don't think they'll go Jared Beldier, but he's played more football than right tackle than those guys. So I guess the chances are technically more than zero, but very, very, very small. But it sure seems like it's going to be Brian Bulaga. I mean, he's practiced all week, and he's got to get his knee feeling a little bit better, see how the plane flight handles, you know, and all that. But he's been out there.
So, Ryan, can you explain to me the Jared Beldier situation? I knew that he's at practice today and that the Packers were given some form of a roster exemption, that he didn't have to necessarily come off the retired list, but now it appears that he is off the retired list?
Yeah, so that's a technicality that I haven't looked into all that much, to be honest with you. But basically, the NFL does grant them some flexibility there. When he first arrives in his new town, since he was on the retired list, that is kind of a quirk to former retired players coming back into the game specifically. So if they play him, he's going to have to be on the 53, the 46, but they've got some flexibility there to make some decisions.
Woody, were you caught off guard in your exchange with Aaron Rodgers about the talent level gap between some of the rest of the teams in the NFC?
No, I wouldn't say I was caught off guard. I just was genuinely curious to hear what he had to say and what he thought, and kind of just checking his temperature, I guess, when I asked him if, you know, how to close that gap, you know, because the first question I asked him was did the gap feel every bit like 29 points, or did the film look like it was closer? He said, no, it looked like 29-point gap. So my second question was, how in the world do you close that with five games to go before the postseason? That's a daunting thing to do. And his explanation was it's about execution. It's not about talent. It's about execution, which, you know, think about this team here. Defensively, they've got game changers. They've got a pair of Pro Bowl edge rushers. They've got some pretty good corners. They've got some safeties that are capable of playing really well. It's just, what's been the problem with this defense? It's been missed assignments. It's been the mental part of the game. It's been not being able to do your job, your 1/11th every down, that this defense just hadn't done it most of the year. Talent-wise, it's not an issue. The other side, I think that the talent gap is more pronounced just because what do they have behind Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, and Jamal Williams other than not a lot of production? So that to me, is when it comes to talent, is the bigger concern. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers said it himself this week. He's got to get hot. If he gets hot and if he can lift this offense on his own, which he's been known to do before, I do think at the end of the day they have an improved defense, especially when it comes to being a playmaking defense that can generate turnovers, get sacks, that is different than what they've had in the past.
Talking with Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and also at By Ryan Wood, where you follow his work on Twitter, coverage of the Green Bay Packers. With that part of the conversation, Ryan, we were having a conversation about it here during about like the 3 o'clock hour of how big is that talent gap do you feel in the NFC? And the neutralizer is Aaron Rodgers, and he knows that. Everybody really does. When he is at his best, he's probably better than anybody else outside of maybe Russell Wilson in this NFC that he's going to see in the playoffs. And no offense to Drew Brees, but just at his age right now, you would assume that playmaking style, it's Rodgers and Wilson and everybody else. But is the talent gap great enough where the Packers can't just get hot and ride that wave, or is it going to be a fact of that they do have the chance? It's just going to be the ball has to bounce exactly right.
No, I think they have a chance. You know, Drew Brees is really, really great. I don't think his best is quite as good as Aaron Rodgers' best, but it's not that far. Drew Brees is really, really good. And what I saw last night was a really talented Saints team. They have something that the Packers don't have. They have depth at playmaker, right? I mean, they've got a tight end that can actually run, Jared Cook. Packers fans might have heard of him. Taysom Hill, a guy that can line up anywhere. And
I saw you, Packer plays. Fans just want to turn the TV off.
I it was Thanksgiving. I was trying to give a common courtesy to everyone that was, you know, the Packers fans watching that. So, I think that Saints were my preseason pick, and I continue to – I don't know what that was when they lost at home to the Falcons. That that made zero sense at all. I continue to think that they're the team to beat in the NFC, more so. We'll see, but even more so than the 49ers.
I mean, the NFC field is already there, pretty much. I think there could be a battle between Philly and Dallas maybe. But of those NFC teams in the field – now we have to start breaking it down this way. I know New Orleans was a favorite coming in, and I respect that, Woody, but they're not as dominating as I thought they would be this year, and that opens the door to a Niner team to get hot or a Seattle Seahawks team, and we'll find out what I think we'll find out more and more about the Vikings on Monday night or a Green Bay team. Would you agree with that they're not as dominating? I like their opportunistic defensive and special teams, and I like their weapon at wide receiver. But outside of that, are they dominating?
I don't think there's a dominant team in the NFC. I think there's a lot of really, really good teams. I think this is a conference that is both top-heavy and deep, which usually you don't see. But they've got – I mean, there's five good teams in the NFC. Maybe a six if someone in the NFC East can get hot, maybe not. But you know there's five good teams in the NFC. Of those teams, I do think I'll stick with my preseason pick of the Saints, for at least for right now. I haven't seen anything that make me think that they're not the team, especially if they are able to play in the Superdome. That's going to be rough. I mean, I know that they lost, obviously, last year to the Rams in the Superdome, but that's not easy sledding for any opponent coming in. But the 49ers, the Seahawks, the Vikings, and yes, the Packers are all really, really good. So it is a wide open. I view the NFC as a wide open conference filled with a lot of really good teams.
It's, I mean, who's going to represent the NFC in the damn Super Bowl? I mean,
chances all over the place. And Woody, it does feel like this game on Monday night between the Seahawks and Vikings is going to tell us a lot about those two teams and a lot about what the Packers' schedule is going to look like moving forward. We know that the Viking game week 16 is just still looming on the schedule. It's probably the last big-time true full test for the Packers before they get to the playoffs, but does it look like if a win this week by the Seahawks that the Packers could, in theory, not really have too much to worry about with the NFC North if the Vikings end up taking a loss this week to the Seahawks?
Not necessarily, because then they would be a game up And if the Vikings won that game week 16, they'd be tied. And then I don't know what the second tiebreaker after head-to-head is. I think it's either I think it's division record and then conference record. I don't have it in front of me.
Division,
right now.
Conference, or common. Conference. Yeah, yeah, one of those three, yeah, division, so, conference, or common opponents.
Yeah, so you'd have to go down the list. So, no, I don't think that a loss by the Vikings this week and a win by the Packers, it doesn't change to me what that week 16 game is, unless they're assured of those secondary tiebreakers after head-to-head. I mean, that's where it would come to.
Sure.
So that's why I say that's the game of the year. And, a little thing to keep in mind is that the Packers, if they want to go and get that 2 seed, which they were in a week ago, and now after the 49ers game, they're not, I don't think they're catching 49ers. Effectively, they're 3 games back with 5 to go because the 49ers have the head-to-head and they're 2 games up. So that's 3 games. But they don't have to necessarily catch the Seahawks if the Seahawks don't beat the 49ers in the West because of that crazy rule. They would do the same thing happened to the L.A. Chargers last year. Despite having a better record, they're not a division winner, so they'd be a wild card. So they're dropping the seeds. What they need to do is catch the Saints. That's who they're chasing more so than even the Seahawks. The Seahawks can go out and win. If you're a Packers fan on Monday night, you're absolutely rooting for the Seahawks to beat the Vikings, not just because of the division, but because the Seahawks are behind in their division and effectively not head-to-head racing the Packers.
Do they have another matchup to the Niners and Seahawks?
One more, yep. One more. I believe it's week 16 as well between those two teams, Niners and Seahawks, as they go at it. Actually, it's week 15. No, it's not week 15, sorry. No, they have not played their last game. It is week 17 that they play the final one between those two teams.
That could be huge for everybody in the NFC.
Ryan, appreciate it, man. What do you have for this week? Packers 6-point favorites going into the Meadowlands.
Yeah, it's a good it's a good hangover cure to go against a 2-9 terrible team. I'm curious a little bit what the Packers will do against Saquon Barkley, but the Giants are a bad team. The Packers are not a bad team. They're going to win. I'll say 34-17. I'll say they're going to win going away. 34-17.
That sounds great. We'll break it down with you, Ryan. Same time, same channel right here, 4:35, Wendy's Big Show on Monday. All right, enjoy the rest of the weekend and enjoy the game on Sunday.
All right, take care.
Take it easy, man. That's Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.